As we approach Christmas this week, our Advent readings touch on the God's promise to David that he would establish a house for David. Then in the Gospel reading and our call to worship this morning, God's promise, perhaps challenge, to Mary and her response to that challenge. We're going to go deeper into the text in a moment, but this is 2020. We are in the middle of a deadly pandemic that is hitting the Western Lakes and Mountains regions hard, our home. And this week I read a book about post-World War II, pre-independence Israel, and several Holocaust refugees who went there. Each person had a different mindset, and one of them simply could not deal with the God who allowed the Holocaust to happen. Psychologists and greeting card writers too frequently wax on about mystery and offer platitudes. And here we are in the middle of a pandemic that is quickly overtaking total American combat deaths in the Second World War. There were 418,000 plus of them. The scope of what we are enduring now is stunning, particularly when you look at comparisons like that. Like the Holocaust survivor, we might ask where God is in all this, and that's a good question for this Advent season. Centuries ago, plagues swept Europe, killing up to 3/4 of the population. A woman in England, Julia of Norwich, fell deadly ill and thought she would die. At the hardest point of her illness, she experienced a number of theophanies, with God appearing to her. In her first vision, she was led by the Spirit to look not at heaven, but at the cross. The lesson she learned was that God was not absent, gazing down from heaven at her and others in their sickness, but there with her and experiencing it, just as he did on the cross. He is God with us. In another vision, it went like this, and these are her words. "And in this he showed me a little thing, the quantity of a hazelnut lying in the palm of my hand, as it seemed. And it was as round as any ball. I looked upon it with the eye of my understanding and thought, what may this be? And it was answered generally thus, it is all that is made. I marveled how it might last, for I thought it might suddenly have fallen to nothing for littleness. And I was answered in my understanding, it lasts and ever shall, for God loves it. And so have all things their beginning by the love of God. And in this little thing I saw three properties. The first is that God made it, the second that God loves it, and the third that God keeps it." Now, neither of these visions offers a rationale for the plague sweeping Europe then or the pandemic sweeping the world and us now. Indeed, the plagues then were due to a miserable public health system, or a lack thereof, and the current pandemic perhaps a version of that same failed public health phenomena. What these experiences do tell us is that God is not absent. He remains here with us, experiencing, as he did on the cross, our suffering. This is not some God who looks at us as if we are entertainment, but as our very engaged Creator, Savior, and Sustainer, who is right here with us, our God, Emmanuel. I don't think that the pandemic now and the plagues then were a function of God seeking to inflict pain on us. I do think they are all a function of our own failure to live in creation as he has made it. But God has not left us to our own devices in this. He is with us, and like the people of Israel in the wilderness, he is seeking to lead us. And that brings us back to Advent and this announcement of Gabriel to Mary. The Annunciation. It's straightforward, and we all know the story. God has selected Mary to give birth to the Messiah. Viewed from the 21st century, we check this story off in our list of things to remember in the season, and then go back to preparing for Christmas Eve and Christmas. But this is significant, and should trigger in our own thoughts, how would I respond? Mary was being told, not asked, that her life was about to be changed forever, turned upside down immediately. She had no idea how Joseph would react to her pregnant condition, and was too aware, as a young Jewish woman at the time, that her pregnancy, not by Joseph, could result in deadly repercussions. At best, she would be labeled a harlot, and at worst, an adulteress who should be stoned to death. Today's text says that she was troubled, but I suspect a better word would be terrified. Yet her response to the news was not to just accept the reality, but to embrace it. Her response was to articulate that she was there to glorify God, and that is the lesson for today. I'll tell you again a story from the time after Hurricane Katrina on the Gulf Coast. I've been sent down by my Navy boss for the purpose of training some Coast Guard sailors in how to use and tend our materials on their ship. That was the extent of it. On that first Monday of the work week, during lunch, I went over to the small Navy exchange on the Vespucket base in Pascagoula, sort of the routine pilgrimage Navy folks do when assessing the lay of the land wherever they have been dropped. There was only a single vehicle outside the exchange with a Presbyterian Disaster Assistance logo on it. Since there was only a single customer in the exchange besides me, I went over and asked him if that was his vehicle. Yes. In a short order, he launched into a very serious challenge to me personally to get my act together, revisit my priorities, and to come down to the Gulf Coast to undertake relief work there. I was stunned at the vehemence with which he spoke. He didn't press me up against the shelves, but he came close to that. I drove through the damage after work that afternoon and visited the work camp he ran, and I got it. The Navy had paid me to work for the Coasties there, but I concluded that the real reason I had gone down was to experience the need, to see a part of the creation that called for help. The point is that each of us receives a call, an annunciation, as Mary did. We may get them repeatedly. We may hear them clearly. The retired Air Force Colonel's challenge to me was, I think, just that. Yet we may hear them only as a still noise, perhaps even silence in the absence of noise. We must pay attention to God's reach for us. Mary's response was to embrace her new role in God's creation and glorify Him. Now, we've all known or seen moments when God has called and His call has been ignored. And for decades, I've been haunted by an experience early on in Virginia. It was a simple thing. A woman was asked if she would serve as a deacon. She seemed committed, God-fearing, and a natural. She said no, basically that she was too busy with life and would be ready for such things when her work and family life subsided. It never happened. Now, I don't see this as a divine consequence, but sometime later she was diagnosed with Parkinson's and never again had an opportunity to serve. Again, I absolutely do not see this as a punishment for a failure to be a Mary in the call, but it is for sure a very sad reality that we each have moments in our lives when we become aware of God's need for us, His annunciation to us, His plan for us. Perhaps we would be so blessed as to receive multiple calls, so that if we turn one down, we will have opportunities. But we don't know that. We know only that God gives us the moment, just as He gave it to Mary, just as He gave it to Moses at the bush, to Joshua, to Elisha, to the disciples, to Esther, to Jonah. It is up to us how we respond. We can be Mary, or we can be Jonah. How are we responding to God's call and plan for us? Creation, the world we live in, is designed by God as a place where we, mankind, are to be intricately involved in His work. We do not get to take a break from this for Christmas. And we are reminded of that by Mary's story. Whom will you be? Who will be your model? Jonah? Mary? In this season of Advent, as we remember that God is with us, Emmanuel, we are empowered by His grace alone, through faith alone, by the atonement of Christ alone, by the revelation of Scripture alone, so that we may give all glory to God alone, in whatever way He has individually or corporately called us. And so remember Julia of Norwich's summary. In this little thing, I saw three properties. The first is that God made it, the second that God loves it, and the third that God keeps it. Mary was called by God, in His love, to be part of His keeping of this small thing we call our world, our lives. How are we, how are you, being called to be part of God's keeping of this world He has placed us in? What are we, you, doing to respond to God's grace and be part of this creational keeping? Soli Deo Gloria. Amen.